You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 10 December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Viv Govender, commodities, and then Keith McLachlan, turnaround stocks. How do we identify those winners early? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Construction industry continues its steady but slow recovery. The Aframat Construction Index increased 2.8% in Q3, notwithstanding the July riots. Business Day, Northam raises the stakes in bidding war for Royal Buffer King Platinum. Northam has made an unsolicited approach to buy all or a portion of the shares with voting rights in RB Plat. Remember, they've got that 32%, but it's at holdco level. Morning markets, lots of red. US red, S&P off 0.75%, NASDAQ down 1.5%. In Asia, red, Sydney off 0.6%, Tokyo down 0.4%. Commodities green overnight, gold 1780, Brent 74.49, Palladium 1816, Rand 1599. Top 40 looking for 20-point green open. Let's call that flat. That as 10 cent trades off 0.6% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. Viv, appreciate the time this morning. Commodities started the year all bullish, absolutely rocked up. We kind of, most of them, oil aside, peaked around mid-year. We've certainly seen the commodity prices down. We've seen the miners down. What is your sense of commodities heading into 2022? Are they going to rally back or fall lower?
I think they might be rallying back. Looking at commodity prices, we did have some innovations or some moves from China to try and bring prices down. We did things like manipulate the market, you know, force traders to bring prices lower, release stocks into the market as well. Those are all temporary measures. I think that as you start to see the impact of all these stimulus packages, the US has a multi-trillion dollar one, there's stuff in France, there's stuff in all of Europe, basically, you're also going to see more demand for raw materials, and I think that's going to be giving us a little boost to the commodity sector.
So commodities coming back. I mean, one of the big things, particularly in PGMs, has been the vehicle manufacturers. And obviously, their chip shortage has meant that they just simply can't produce enough, reduces demand. I've been chatting with folks. The consensus seems to be perhaps second half of next year, sort of normality returns. If that happens, that also puts a huge demand back into PGMs.
Possibly. I mean, I do, of course, have fears around electrical vehicles.
Yeah.
I think that's something that probably is going to take over faster than you think. I mean, from what I gather, because you know, obviously in South Africa we don't have them, but Teslas are very attractive vehicles. And, you know, obviously Elon Musk doesn't have a monopoly on making electrical vehicles. And there's no reason that you won't see GM and, you know, everyone else basically able to catch up, at least in terms of you know, the attractiveness of their vehicles as well. There's lots of advantage to having electrical vehicles beyond just the environmental issues. And, you know, you see places like Norway, for instance, really, you know, switch to electricals incredibly quickly. So it remains to be seen just, you know, what the impact of that will be. I don't think it's going to impact them like next year, but I mean, definitely I'm talking about, you know, from mine, you're talking about a multi-decade plan, you know, multi-decades down the line, I can easily see electrical vehicles, you know, dominating the market.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point on that. I mean, certainly there's talk. I mean, one of the manufacturers, and I can't remember which it is basically saying by 2025, which is, what, 4 years away, they're going to be more than 50% electrical in Europe. And it's kind of that tipping point. And you see it, we saw it with the advent of the internet. It was something which a few people had. Then it gained mass adoption, and then suddenly it's everywhere. And we're likely to see similar with EVs. And as you point out, probably quicker than we think.
Oh, yes, most certainly. And like I said, it's probably not going to happen next year. You wouldn't see that impact coming through. But I mean, when you look at, you know, the platinum mines, a lot of value is in the future. So you'd probably be careful about that. Yeah.
We'll leave that there. That's Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, talking commodities. He's saying they can certainly come back. And certainly, yeah, Biden spending, what's it, $1 trillion. That's going to have a massive impact. The PGMs, that's perhaps the more important. Certainly, we've got a huge PGM space in our economy. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
Chatting with Keith McLachlan, Investment Officer at Integral Asset Management, talking turnarounds and how do we spot them advance? How do we know if they're really working? There's been a number on the market. Keith, appreciate your time. I say a number. I mean, we've got Invicta Omnia. Omnia still got a SARS issue. AdCorp, they were kind of working. We've got Tongaat, EOH, I don't know, still looking a bit bleak maybe. Nampak. How do we spot those winners, those that have succeeded so far, sort of in advance? Or do we need to wait sort of when the price is up 5x and, you know, markets are rewarding them?
Hi, Simon. Well, first of all, we've come out of about 10 years of no growth in South Africa, which has just ground corporates into the ground. There's no surprise, especially on the back of the pandemic and lockdowns and the recession, that there's a proliferation of turnarounds. That said, it is very hard to make a successful turnaround. What Warren Buffett has a really, really good saying, which is, as generalizations, not always correct, but the nature of it is really that you can take the best captain in the world and you could put him on a boat with a hole in it. The boat will still sink. So turnarounds are challenging. And I think to get to your question, the starting point is look at the core of the business. Is the core of the business profitable? And what I mean by that is exclude group overheads, exclude non-core subsidiaries and other things, and even exclude financing. You're looking at the core of the group at an operating, at a gross profit margin level and an operating profit margin level. Is that profitable? If that is not profitable, then you have a sinking ship. There's little you can do. And in my opinion, the odds are deeply against you then. But if that core is profitable, the odds are that the problem lies in what I call the two B's, either in the boardroom or on the balance sheet, being that the management and overheads and are bad, or that the balance sheet has holes in it, i.e. too much debt. Those are both addressable. You can get rid of management. You can dilute or restructure the debt or dilute and pay off the debt. But if the core isn't profitable, there's not much you can do about that.
And that first point is, I want to come to debt in a moment, but that management, you were chatting with David Shapiro earlier in the week, and he was talking about the value of management. It's important, I imagine, that they knew blood. In other words, not just like, well, hey, take the 2RC, because truthfully, they were part of the problem. And of course, it's hard to often tell that the new management, if I think of Celan Globalsamy, who's come into Omnia, I mean, I think he had been in asset management before. I mean, he wasn't someone who was naturally, you just assumed that he was going to be a fit in. It's tough to tell that the new management, aside from being new and being able to make some easy wins, get rid of the corporate jet, etc., it's tough to identify.
Let me phrase this way. A huge amount of value on the stock market has been unlocked getting rid of bad management. even if the new management turns up and they just get the basics right, if they don't actively destroy the business and they have shareholder support, you can often manage your way through it. But that is a fair point. You don't know what the quality of management is turning up. I would say, in terms of turnarounds, a starting point is say, what went wrong? And therefore, what has changed that this won't go wrong anymore? And in many instances, at the core, management have made bad decisions. And I would argue it is very difficult to turn around a business unless you change management, because you can't have the same guys that made the mistakes sitting in the room trying to fix them. Egos get in the way. They have a lot of psychological anchoring on what they did. They don't, and quietly, they probably don't even think they made mistakes. You've got to change management. I would say the starting point then is look for the incoming management, look for them having a good track record. Wherever they've operated, it may not be in the same industry. I mean, Omnia is an interesting example because he's come in from a different industry. But at the core of Omnia's problem was capital allocation. And how is running a portfolio of companies different to running a portfolio of investments? Very different. The long answer is you're making the same decisions. You've overgeared. You need to work out what are core assets, what are not core assets, get the balance sheet right, and Omnia obviously did a very, very large rights issue that helped them correct the balance sheet. And the moment you've corrected the balance sheet, you've got breathing room. The debt is now not burning a hole in the balance sheet, and you've got breathing room to now make tactical, intelligent decisions around the assets.
Yeah, and they're also selling some non-core. But I like that idea around both Omnia and Invicta kind of did rights issues quite early and at horrible prices. I mean, it was massively dilutive, as opposed to Tongaat, who are now doing one quite late. EOH, who's still sitting on a pile of debt, maybe they can trade their way out of it, but I can't help thinking there's a rights issue coming. Perhaps part of that trick is rather do it early, do it quick, so that you can, as you say, fix that balance sheet sort of straight away.
And I would argue do it early, do it quick, and do it big. Do it bigger and have absolutely solved that problem and be sitting on the net cash balance sheet, then do it too small, and a couple of years later, you're still struggling with the debt. You only want to do one rights issue in the market. And I think that's, my advice to management teams are always, if you're going to raise capital, whatever you think you're going to raise, raise a little bit more than that. Because you only get a few times to come back to the market to do that, and you want to minimize the number of times.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in the case of, I think, Invicta and Omnia, now sitting on good cash, and it starts to come back. I mean, they are, AdCorp as well was a fairly successful one, although that was, if my memory serves, less about debt, more about just egos and bad businesses and the like. And I suppose if you get the right person who's an outsider, who's prepared to do the hard decisions, one of which is that massive rights issue, you've probably got a chance of success, but no guarantees. Ever.
Definitely. In fact, if we go even further back into time, Supergroup is an example of large rights issues. And then a little bit more recently, but also further back into time, is Ultron. Ultron's a fantastic case study of turning around the business, and it involves getting rid of, changing the legacy management. You needed new guys in to unlock that. And then more recently, as you said, there's Omni and the like. The best turnarounds don't need dilution. And that's always the sign that your core is right. So something that we are at Integral invested in, and we back in terms of a turnaround, and it is a very, very quiet turnaround, but it is worth looking at, is in fact Momentum Metropolitan. Right at the core, it's an incredibly profitable business with great scale and reach and distribution. We've had the change in management. New management have walked in. They've dramatically changed the culture, and they've cut non-core, and they've focused and streamlined operations, and the share is still trading at a huge, over one standard deviation discount to its embedded value. This is a good example of a turnaround that didn't need to go and dilute, and perhaps one that the market hasn't yet woken up to.
Yeah, I'd completely actually forgotten about them, and I know we've chatted that stock before, but I like your upfront point, is look to those core operations, because if the core operations are broken and not profitable, well, there ain't nothing to turn around. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Investment Officer at Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
So far this year, 2021, it's been a really good year for investors. Last year was surprisingly good, considering the collapse we had in February and March and the subsequent rally. But the follow-through this year, some numbers of major indices. Locally, top 40 up almost 21%. The FINI 15 index up 22.5%. S&P 500 up 24.25%. The mid-cap local, 24.5. The Satrix Indy, which of course is Process and NASPAS in there, up just over 27%. Satrix Resi just ahead of that as well, just over 27%. NASDAQ, 27.2% higher for the year. But topping them all, absolutely topping them all, is the Cacaron 40 out of France, up 28.9%. A little index probably most of us know nothing about. Probably we don't trade it. We're not even quite sure what stocks are in it. But it brings us to the point. A couple of thoughts that I want to take on this. The first is that often you've got to look in the places you least expect to, such as the Cacaron 40 in France. Who would have thought that they would be, you know, beating everything local and offshore? The other point is, how's your portfolio done? I mean, this has been index numbers I'm talking about here, but we've got a large number of shares in our market that have 100% and in many cases a lot more than 100%. I'm going to be chatting with Kuki Koiman on Monday. My sense is some of the banks perhaps have lagged if you do the year to date, but if you look back to October, we've got some solid numbers coming through. And in a year like this, we need to be making hay. We need to, yeah, if you're a passive investor, you've absolutely done excellent. No complaints. Your ETFs would have done brilliantly for you. You've made proper wealth creation. If you're an active investor, you need to go and drill into that portfolio. How's it gone? How's your returns done relative to the market? This was a year to be doing great. You didn't necessarily need the PPC 10 baggers in a 12-month period. Even just some of the retailers, ShopRite's up, you know, 60, 70%, etc. So have a look, have a review of your portfolio. What did work? What didn't work for you? And that's our question we're asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter profile pages. How has your portfolio done? With all those all-time highs, or in many cases, almost all-time highs, your portfolio had an excellent year, done all right, or perhaps you have struggled. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb now.
With Simon Brown.
On the money. Also available on podcast.
That's it for today. A poll yesterday, we've been chatting with Sean Saunders from Revix around that sudden collapse in crypto on Saturday. And I said to Sean at the time, which was, I suppose, not weird, but there certainly wasn't a sense of any panic or anything. I posted a chart Saturday morning as it was falling, but there wasn't a sense of, I remember the collapse was a 2017 from 20,000, a lot more panic coming through. The question we had asked you on our LinkedIn and Twitter was quite simply, Did you jump in? Were you perhaps buying? A third of you were saying, almost a third said, yep, you were in there buying with both hands, some opportunity. But a quarter of you saying, nah, you've got plenty already. I fit in that group. I've got my crypto. It sits. I'm happy with it. But almost half were saying, yeah, you know what? This crypto stuff, not for me. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. Next week, we are doing full live shows up until Wednesday, which is the 15th, and then Friday 17 through to Friday 24, we will have recorded shows. Won't be live, but there will be a podcast, and then we take a two-week break back on the 10th of January for live shows again. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.